Welcome to Manager Tools. Politics 101, Chapter 6, Politics Are Just Relationships, Part 3. This cast answers these questions. Should I play politics? How can I get better at office politics? Why does politics have a bad reputation? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go. Hopefully, in the last two casts, if you haven't listened to the last two, go listen to them before going on to this one. We talked pretty extensively about politics and what it is and how we define it and why it is a reality. It exists, and you can either choose to not play it and be ineffective, or you can get smart about it and be effective.
Yeah, and you're not getting your hands dirty by, quote, playing politics. You're doing what every effective professional does, which is consider other people because you work in a people organization. Simple as that.
Yeah. So most folks would not go around saying relationships don't matter, right? Yeah, relationships do matter.
Exactly.
And that's what politics are. It's relationships, folks. It's just relationships. Get over yourself. Now, if you don't know what I'm referring to, you didn't listen to the last cast.
But, you know, the high C's and the high D's in the audience are going, yeah, relationships aren't important. All that matters is the work.
No. So let's get on to politics are just relationship effects and decision making. That's what politics is.
Before we start, I have a very neat moment I'd like to share. We don't get to do this very often. This is a multi-part cast. So between recording the first couple and this, I got to talk to a listener who listened
to the cast. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a client of the firm, Trevor Woods, who's the chief information officer of Monash University, the biggest university in Australia. Longtime client, has been for years, and has become a friend, somebody Mike and I respect a great deal. And Trevor was in San Francisco for a Google conference. He was speaking there. And he asked a couple months ago if he could come down to Pebble Beach. Now, sometimes people say, hey, you're in California. Why don't I come see you? And then I tell them, no, it's a couple hours from anywhere. And they demur. But Trevor and I have been trying to do this for a while. And Trevor was kind enough to come in a little early and rent a car in San Francisco and drive all the way down to Pebble Beach, have lunch with me, and then drive all the way back. Almost no one does that. It was very kind of him. And as we sat down to lunch over at the lodge at Pebble Beach, he says, by the way, I was just listening to your podcast about politics on the way down. And he said, you sound just the same. We ended up talking about politics for a good bit of the lunch. And so, Trevor, thanks for making the trip. And I'm glad this cast was a good one for you. And folks, that's a CIO of a large organization, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600 people in his organization. And is absolutely clear that politics matter on a day-to-day basis.
I was pretty sure he wasn't going to sit down and say, Mark, this whole thing about politics is just, I just don't do it. I just don't do it. It doesn't exist. No,
all I care about is results, and I let my results speak for myself. You know, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, enough aside. Yeah, the bottom line on politics, it's almost like just bad marketing is really what it is. It's like the wrong guy got a hold of one of the fundamental principles of being in an organization, and that is working with other people and recognizing that relationships matter, and you can't simply be logical all the time, purely logical in a brightly rational kind of way. And really what it is considering in all of your decision relationship effects. No decision that is made in an organization that anyone here is listening to now is made in a completely apolitical way. None, whether you realize it or not. And the higher levels a decision is made at, the more politics there are, because there are more effects on people who have significant impact on the organization. Because more people are affected, if you make a decision at the top that, you know, people beneath you are going to be affected in terms of implementation and outcomes and so on, if you don't have insight into the necessary collaboration and compromise processes, you're going to be in trouble. Because the higher you go in the organization, any organization, the less you can do yourself. Look, I've said this before, I don't think it's a terribly interesting quote because nobody ever says, wow, I love that. But organizations are by definition organic. Companies and institutions are not mechanizations. Okay, they're not machines. They're not black boxes. You know, there's not a pure algorithm. They're groups of people, organisms, organic, made up of carbon, you know, air breathing. And as we've said before, the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. And the definition of politics, which, by the way, is not mine. This came from a listener. The definition of politics is three human beings in that same county. You have people, you're going to have conflict. You have more people, you're going to have politics. And politics is actually part of the transmission fluid, the oil, the lubricant that reduces conflict. Politics is really just the effect of relationships on rational decision-making. If you're going to have to work with other people after the decision you're making, right, and beyond the parameters of the particular situation that your decision is addressing, you're going to have to collaborate and compromise. And therefore, politicize virtually every decision you make.
Dude, politics is just, let's simplify for people, it's just Game of Thrones. You know, bunch of people with some strengths that you love and some negatives, and they'll have their own desired outcomes, and they have conflict. And so that's so. Office life is just Game of Thrones.
Unfortunately for me, I came late to the Game of Thrones juggernaut, thanks to Mike, who insisted that I watch. But the entire show, which I find the second greatest TV. No, it's probably the greatest TV ever made. I used to say Band of Brothers was the greatest TV ever made. It's probably touches my heart more, but Game of Thrones is pretty epic. And, you know, Mike told me, oh, you got to listen. And he completely ruined it for me because before I ever watched, he says, you got to watch because, dude, you're Ned Stark. And then in the first show I watch, I get beheaded. So, yeah, Mike is being a little tongue-in-cheek there with Game of Thrones. But you know what? Five levels down from the very top of the organization, that's how people see it. They look up and they see that. They see the internecine warfare and so on. And again, what you call collaboration, people below you will call politics. Look, political costs are included in every decision that affects other people, whether you want to believe it or not. If we stay loosely with that analogy of politics and money and costs, right, we're either going to have to invest in relationships on the front end, it's an investment that'll pay dividends later, or we're going to have to accept the cost of political compromises, or we're going to spend some goodwill, or we're going to have to pay a political cost later. It's that simple. Look, I think a lot of times when I use organizational analogies, I try to remind myself that if you're looking down at your directs, you think you see pretty clearly. You certainly you do. If you have a friend who's a peer of yours, you're pretty honest with one another. You see each other pretty clearly. You feel like you have a pretty good handle on what's happening to him or her. Your directs, definitely. Your skips, you probably can see too. There's a little bit of haze. You get four and five levels down. It gets pretty hard to see, but at least you have a belief, an understanding, some sense of things, and you certainly get lots of data, which allows you to paint by numbers a picture of somebody far away from you in the organization. It's different when you look up. Things get opaque really fast, okay? So I understand that. A lot of times we're talking about, hey, the people at the top, they're this way or that way. And we're like, well, okay, I'm not really sure about that. Let's change the model that we're using here. And if you want an easy way to think about this, think about you and your spouse or significant other or life partner deciding where to have dinner. If you want to go to restaurant A, which you score a 10 out of 10 on your desired restaurant choice list, but he scores restaurant A only a 5, you could end up both being much happier going to restaurant B, which you both score a 7. It's a bit of a loss for you. It's a bit of gain for your spouse. Okay. It's not ideal for you, or it's actually not ideal for your spouse, because he has his own different 10 out of 10 restaurant, and it's not ideal for you, right? You went from 10 to 7 on your ranking thing, but it is ideal for your relationship.
Now, you're not going to say that's politics going on right there, are you?
I mean, oh, yeah. No, it is. Look, it's not politics. Nobody would call that politics. They'd call it a relationship effect and a decision. And that's what politics are.
Yeah.
That's all. And you know what? Probably the fact that the word play and the word politics both start with P. We have some alliteration there. It just cemented politics' bad reputation. And by the way, we use that numerical ranking for a reason here, guys, to highlight how different people see these kinds of decisions and how even that can affect the utility or effectiveness of a decision. In that example, there are those of us who would say it's illogical to choose the compromise restaurant. I think Spock and Data probably would. We come to that conclusion because the total utility points of the compromise, two people going to a 7 restaurant, is 14 points, 14 happiness points. But the total point score for the other restaurant is 15, a 10, and a 5. Some of us who see things differently than that will cringe at that application of, quote, let's call that group utility, which is actually a research term. The idea that the group of two in this case might be better served when one of the group seems to have been so poorly served, right, going from 10 to 7, doesn't feel right to us. Now, the logical group, the rational group, the apolitical group is what I think they would call themselves, would argue in defense of their analysis, right, that the law, you know, the going to a 10 and a 5 restaurant, right, that the law of large numbers would over time even out any loss of utility for any one participant over time. In other words, I'll go to a 10, honey, you go to a 5, and then next week, week after, we'll go to your 10 and one of my 5s, right? Ultimately, over time, it'll even out.
Yeah, maybe, with two people involved. But when you have hundreds of people involved, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it gets even more complicated than that. The problem with the purely logical or utility approach is that the relative utility of a decision's outcome changes based on a host of relationship and therefore political factors. For instance, while it's probabilistically true that the law of large numbers will converge toward equality, if you want to call it that, it may only be able to apply that decision methodology to a small number of events. The next 6 months may be really important to my career, but less so to yours. And so the law of large numbers doesn't obtain in this case. What's more, the events may be of varying value to each of the participants in each instance. The political slash relationship effect decisions that we make at work are about a host of factors that may not be as simply boiled downable to, if you'll pardon that really awful phrase, to restaurant choices between two people on a scale of 1 to 10. You may think the restaurant's really important, whereas I'm much more interested in our movie choice. And you and I may not have equal power in the relationship. Because you're my boss, I know that on any decision, you can simply overrule my input. So role power, history, the lack of love causes people to say, oh, you know, with my spouse, it's love, but with everybody else, it's just work. And it's still people and it's still relationships. Look, your boss may choose option B over what appears to be a cheaper and roughly equivalent quality option A, because he knows his boss has a strong relationship with the vendor of option B. Option A appears to most of us as the logical choice. So, here we go. Therefore, choosing option B is a political choice. In other words, in this case, because of your boss's relationship, that decision is affected by the relationship effect, which we just call politics.
Yeah, it's interesting. As you're talking, I'm going through my head thinking the way you're describing this is almost the marketplace of ideas. Compare it to capitalism, right? The world is too complex that the enjoyment and the advancement in technology and the things we have today, no person or group of people could deterministically create that outcome, right? It happened by a free and open marketplace. And ideas are the same way within an organization. And relationships and politics are how those things get worked out. And it's complex. You put, 5,000 people in an organization with different ideas. How do you get an outcome out of that?
Yeah, it's impossible to model as well. Not only is it complex, it's nearly infinitely complex. You know, Metcalfe's number, the nature of a network is not the number of people, but the number of relationships. And the number of relationships rises virtually as the square of the number of people, right? That's the problem with a 5,000 person organization. The amount of relationships in there is pretty bad, which oftentimes, frankly, leads to Dunbar's number, which is, we've got podcasts about that. If you don't consider relationship effects and you wonder why you're hearing of politics, it's because other people have adapted. It's almost like you're living in a cold climate, but you refuse to wear a coat. And by the way, this will affect your ability to grow within the organization. It's almost as if people at the top get together and say, he just doesn't know. Yeah, it's too bad. He doesn't get it. And you probably think, oh, that just sounds so cynical. He doesn't get it. You have to suck up to people. You have to have friends and so on. You know, that's the cynical way of looking at it. But by that token, you could say, oh, look, they got married. They're not tough enough to make it through life on their own. I mean, come on. And look, it's obvious. We all make these kinds of choices all the time. In our personal lives, we don't call them politics, though. Most of us don't. We call them love or compromise or collaboration.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Yeah. But at work, in a larger context, middle managers call them politics. But again, it's just relationship effects on decision-making. Part of the reason we blame decisions above us on politics is, like I said, the number of relationships involved in organizational life. Between two friends, we can keep track of who's picked up the tab, and you pick up this time, I'll pick it up next time. That's a relationship effect, by the way, guys. Who's paid? Do we both split the check evenly all the time, even though you always order more expensive wine than me and have more cocktails than me? Or do we do it 50-50? Do we switch off who's paying, or do we do it 50-50, or do we go Dutch, whatever? But in organizational life, Metcalfe's law about network effects says it's the effect on us is the square of the number of people in the organization. If you start having to manage 20, 30, 50, 100 relationships, there are a lot of other relationships affecting our decisions and everyone else's. Now, I have to say this as an aside, Mike, since I had this thought pop into my head as I was writing this cast a couple weeks ago. The examples above, where we're talking about choosing a restaurant or movie or what have you, are not intended to address the person who always tells the group regarding restaurants, movies, and the whole Fortnite versus Super Smash Brothers, what are we going to do kind of thing, that he doesn't care. Yeah, it's okay, whatever. Only then later to complain when he doesn't like what the group chooses. That person? Well, I shouldn't even bring it up because our audience is too smart to have any friends like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that person, not good. And there are people like that in organizations too. Yeah, you guys do whatever. And then you announce the decision. Yeah, I don't like that. You know what? Do that to me one more time. Whatever, and then I don't like it.
Yeah, there's a political cost to that, right?
Yeah.
Or a relationship cost, whatever you want to call it, right? Okay, so all that, what's to be done about this? Folks, this is a part where I just play my part and ask the stupid question. But okay, so what do we do? What do we do?
I told you this when we were talking about this cast, like several people who saw the cast internally says, ooh, wow, this is big. And I told Trevor at lunch that, these are the kind of casts that I wouldn't have written 10, 12 years ago because I didn't feel that I got to implementation soon enough. And that's part of the reason why at the top of the show, I talked in detail about things to do. And because I felt like I was laying out an important principle that people needed to understand for organizational life, big or small organizations. But several people said, you know, yeah, I want to know those things. And of course, in this case, a lot of this stuff has been covered in other casts, but I wanted to connect the why, the underlying principles with the how and the what to do. And this part is easy for those people who have listened to us for hopefully the past 13 years. What should we do? Effective managers consider politics, relationship effects, in all of their decisions. That is not a political calculation. It's a rational one.
Yeah. I guarantee you there are many listeners who just, their brain just explodes when you say, I have to consider politics in every one of my decisions. Like, no.
Here's what I would say. I don't think they can argue with this. It's a rational choice. They hate it, but they know it's true. If it wasn't true, they wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, they don't
like.
You.
Yeah, they, yeah. Well, yeah. they don't like that relationships matter. They believe it shouldn't. And as I've said before, folks, try to avoid the word should when it comes to management. And it's a rational factor because politics and relationships matter in organizations. It's actually illogical if you wish to maintain or grow your influence. And by maintain or grow your influence, I mean get promoted or not get fired. It's illogical to ignore or abjure politics. And guys, take it from Mike and I. Mike and me. Sorry, Mom. We did ignore politics. Mike and I were the classic young professionals whose results were as good as they got. Mike and I were very successful results-wise, operational-wise, leadership-wise, project-wise, getting things done-wise, early in our careers, in the Army and beyond.
And that should be enough, right? I mean, that should be enough.
But we did that. We ignored politics. We said it shouldn't. I would tell people, I'm not gonna play politics. I'm just gonna out-result people. And look, high competence makes a difference. There's no question. But it will not make you a complete package if all you are is results and you simply ignore relationship effects in your decision making.
The danger of that is it works early on in your career. It works really well. You can continue to get promoted early in your career and do well.
Yes. Based on
only results. But at some point, the balance between those things, results and relationships, change. And relationships become much more important than results. And if all you have in your tool bag is results, at some point you're going to hit a wall. And it hurts. It hurts.
If you're 8 levels up looking down in the organization, the high-level results stand out. You're like, wow, let's help her, let's help him, let's give them more responsibility. And there's an assumption made, because they can't know the details of what you're doing, that you are not only killing it based on objective factors and so on, but you're aware of relationship effects and you get along with people and you're not ticking people off all the time. And you're going to be able to grow in your career and you have potential to go very far. But then after, you know, a couple of promotions, with 3 promotions, 4 promotions, when suddenly relationship effects become much more important because of the downward effect of your decisions and because of your exposure to people who are much more in a collaborative role, like the VP of manufacturing and the VP of sales we mentioned earlier, and therefore relationship effects / politics make a difference, they're going to suddenly have a rude awakening. This happens to a lot of middle managers who wonder why their career has plateaued. So don't make the mistake that Mike and I did regarding this, and start earlier to considering relationship effects in your decisions, so that even though they may be fairly trivial at the individual contributor level, they still exist to your peers and your boss, so that you could begin developing muscle memory, strengths, knowledge, school of hard knocks learning regarding relationship effects / politics. Don't do what we did. Learn from our mistakes. Frankly, that's one of the reasons manager tools exist. We don't want you to have to go through what we went through. And boy, we went through it.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll continue on this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.